From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. President Trump last week announced he was calling on the Pentagon to create a sixth branch of the U.S. Armed Forces in space. Trump has openly talked about desiring U.S. military supremacy in space in the past. He first raised the idea of a so-called Space Force jokingly in a speech in March. Then last Monday, he formalized his idea. Trump said, when it comes to defending America, it is not enough to merely have an American presence in space. We must have American dominance in space. We are going to have the Air Force and we're going to have the Space Force, separate but equal. According to the Associated Press, the directive seemed to take defense officials by surprise. This week, the investment bank Morgan Stanley implied that the creation of a space force would be lucrative for big business, saying that outer space was a, quote, highly relevant investment domain and that it could fuel the formation of a trillion-dollar economy. My guest is David Pedrera, former reporter for several newspapers, including the Tampa Tribune, the St. Petersburg Times, and the Capital in Annapolis. He won awards for his writings from the Associated Press, the Society of Professional Journalists, and more. And he's the author of a sci-fi novel called Gunpowder Moon. In March, he wrote an op-ed on CNN.com called The Race to Militarize Space is No Joke. Welcome to the program, David.
Thanks for having me.
So let's first talk about what it was that, what it is specifically that Trump has called for. As I said, last week he formalized the call for a space force. So we've got our army, we've got the Navy, we've got the Air Force, and now he wants a whole new unit called Space Force. This sounds like something out of a sci-fi novel. What do you understand it is that he's actually calling for?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, we've had a U.S. Space Command since the mid-1980s, and the Space Command sits underneath the Air Force. And it's fairly large. I think it's 38,000 personnel. It's headquartered at Peterson Air Force Base in Colorado, but it is under the U.S. Air Force. What President Trump was calling for was actually a separate and distinct branch of the military to be created, which, as you said, I think did catch his generals and the Defense Department by surprise. You know, his Secretary of Defense, General Mattis, has actually spoken out against it in the past, and so has the Admiral, the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. So I think he's calling for a separate, distinct branch of the military. And, you know, right now what we have is a Space Command that sits underneath the Air Force.
Let's actually listen to what it was that he said in March when he first raised this idea of a space force. It's amazing to watch him sort of make this stuff up as he goes along. Here's Donald Trump in March.
My new national strategy for space recognizes that space is a warfighting domain, just like the land, air, and sea. We may even have a Space Force, develop another one. Space Force. We have the Air Force, we have the Space Force. We have the Army, the Navy. You know, I was saying it the other day because we're doing a tremendous amount of work in space. I said, maybe we need a new force. We'll call it the Space Force. And I was not really serious. And then I said, what a great idea. Maybe we'll have to do that. That could happen. That could be the big breaking story. Look at all those people back there. Look at that. Oh, that fake news.
That is President Donald Trump in March joking about how, since we're already doing a tremendous amount of work in space, maybe it would be a great idea to have a space force. And then a couple of months later, of course, last week, we heard him actually make that a formal announcement. So, David Pedrera, he said space is a warfighting domain. I suppose from a perspective of governments, it might be. From the rest of our perspectives, space is something beautiful, untouched, something we like to study, something that puts humanity in perspective. But how militarized is it already, not just by the U.S., but other countries?
It's pretty militarized. And when you think about it, you know, really, when we think about space, we do think about, you know, the U.S. and the old Soviet Union meeting up at the Mir space station. And it was a moment of peace. Unfortunately, you know, the trajectory that it's taking is not going in that direction. pretty much all of the superpowers and even regional powers such as India, North Korea, have weapons capabilities in orbit. Now, when you say space, what we're talking about mostly is low and high Earth orbit. No one currently that we know of has any weapons platforms or anything of that nature, you know, outside of Earth orbit. But, you know, the U.S., particularly the U.S., the Russians and the Chinese have significant capabilities in space. When you talk about a space command, a lot of what that deals with is our satellite infrastructure in space, which, you know, is in charge of communications, intelligence gathering, surveillance, missile threat detection, things of that nature. But certainly at least the Chinese, the United States and the Russians have significant capabilities and are rapidly escalating those capabilities as we speak.
Don't we have a treaty in place to prevent turning space into a dangerous battle zone?
Well, kind of. We have what's called the Outer Space Treaty, which I believe was drafted in 1967. And it prohibits weapons of mass destruction in space. It doesn't prohibit weapons platforms. It doesn't prohibit, ICBMs, which can be launched from Earth into actual orbit and then come back down from space to hit another country. So, you know, it's 50 years old. It certainly needs to be refreshed. And at this point, all it prohibits is actually placing a nuclear weapon in orbit or in space or some other weapon of mass destruction.
How have countries been sort of circumventing this treaty? Is it that the definition of the weapons that this treaty bans is vague enough that the US, Russia, other countries are actually putting weapons in space, but maybe just not referring to them in the same way?
Well, yeah, and I think part of it is really the way they look at it is, you know, when you think of an ICBM, which is a nuclear missile, it's launched from Earth. It goes into orbit, which is space. And then comes back down and strikes a target in Earth. And that's not counted in the Outer Space Treaty for some reason. So we don't actually have, that we know of right now, no one actually has an existing weapons platform that's orbiting Earth right now. The U.S. does have a space drone called the X-37 that's been flying up to 1 or 2 year missions at a time. It's got no pilots. No one really knows exactly what it's doing up there. Most likely guesses it's a intelligence gathering, you know, surveillance platform. Certainly, I think the Chinese and the Russians are concerned that it could be a potential weapons platform. So I think that the way they navigate that is we don't currently have, like, for example, a nuke up there in orbit. But the Outer Space Treaty does not prevent any country from having weapons that are based on Earth and go into orbit and come back down to Earth.
Is the militarization of space tied to resource extraction or the desire for resource extraction? I mean, it sounds far-fetched, but the minerals that are available in rare numbers, rare quantities on Earth are present in massive quantities on asteroids and the moon and other planetary satellites, right?
Well, it sounds far-fetched now, but it's certainly not going to be far-fetched in the near future. The only thing that's prohibiting a gold rush in space is the cost that it takes to launch 1 pound of material into orbit. We're currently lowering that cost, year by year. You can see that with SpaceX, for example, bringing back solid rocket boosters and landing them on launch pads. You know, that right there is a huge cost reduction in putting things, material into space. Once we get that cost reduction down to the point where it's, you know, space becomes valuable, I think the gold rush is on. As you mentioned, there's one asteroid in particular that's a near-Earth asteroid that it's kind of controversial, but it's been estimated there could be as much as $5 trillion worth of platinum on that one asteroid. So you have to ask yourself, when have we on Earth not fought over such a valuable resource? I think the answer is never. So, you know, once space does become valuable, I think that we're talking about a whole new area of potential militarization and weaponization. And there's really nothing in treaty. The Outer Space Treaty doesn't really address, for example, commercial enterprises putting weapons platforms in space.
I mean, in some ways, this parallels what we already have on Earth, where the wars that superpowers fight, which of course include the U.S. chief among them, are so deeply tied to and have been so deeply tied to many, in many instances, with resource extraction. Historically, the U.S. and big powers like Britain have fought, you know, many wars, have colonized other parts of the world in the service of resource extraction and riches. And it seems like space is just going to fuel that kind of destructive approach. You write in your CNN op-ed calling for an outright ban on weaponry buzzing around low or high Earth orbit feels like tilting at windmills at this point. There's too much momentum in the wrong direction. How much more momentum in the wrong direction can Trump's Space Force contribute? We were already militarizing space. This announcement by this president, who has overfunded the current conventional military, couldn't this basically push it over the edge?
Well, it's hard to tell. I mean, it certainly could. I mean, having a whole new branch of the military operating in space would certainly propel funding, certainly propel new
funding
efforts in
from
space.
Where, right? Funding from taxpayers, funding for things that, again, don't directly impact ordinary people. There's always enough money for the next high-tech destructive killing machine, but not for healthcare.
Well, exactly. And but I will say this, there also are needs to have some assets in space. One thing, for example, that there's hope that this might increase is funding for asteroid detection, as far as the chances of an asteroid, a near Earth asteroid striking the Earth, and for us having some kind of capability to prevent that by deflecting it or blowing it up. So there are some things that would be good about it, but certainly I think not just what President Trump is doing, what the U.S. is doing, but what all the superpowers are doing right now, it seems to be to me to be just a steady acceleration. On the wrong path in space, frankly, because the more that you weaponize, the more that you get into an actual arms race.
Exactly, a new arms race involving the big powers. You write, I want to quote again from your CNN piece because this was so eloquent. You said, can't we at least make a push for an absolute weapons ban in those regions of the solar system that haven't already been compromised? Physicists, astronomers, and influencers such as science fiction authors could lend their voices to such an effort. They could argue that we don't have to take the sins of the Earth with us into the heavens. It seems like, David, it seems like it's an issue that is off the radar right now. We have so many crises we're dealing with on Earth that there doesn't seem to be much effort being poured into a more updated treaty to ban weapons in space. But do you, as someone who studies this issue, feels like we really do need to focus on a peace treaty for space?
I think so. I mean, it's hard to focus on something 6 months ahead from now when you look at what's going on these days.
Yeah.
So, focusing on something that's going to happen 10, 20, 30 years from now is almost impossible, particularly when you're talking about a government, governments and bureaucracy. But I think that, you want to be ahead of the curve on this because, once we do start mining resources in space, once we start mining the moon, for example, if we don't have that infrastructure of law in place, then it's just going to be, frankly, it'll be like the Wild West. I think that a lot of military people see that coming. That's certainly part of the reason that you're seeing this call, for a space corps, which I think, Representative Mike Rogers from Alabama was the first one to raise a couple months ago. But you're seeing real interest on that in Congress. So, yeah, I mean, that's my take on it. I mean, that's what I think should happen. The question is, will it?
Right. And what do you finally make of the Morgan Stanley note that was just published saying that space force could fuel the creation of another trillion dollar economy? It basically sounds like investors are salivating at the prospect of spending tax dollars on weaponizing and militarizing space through Trump's Space Force.
Well, I think it would certainly be good for the defense industry. But really, I also think that what we're seeing with, again, things that private space companies are doing and, you know, and governments are doing to actually reduce the cost of putting things into orbit is really what is what's going to lead that economic curve. You know, once it becomes viable again to actually do resource mining in space, once it becomes, once we can actually make money doing it, I think that's going to create the huge, the larger boom. Although certainly, you know, if we continue, you know, militarizing space, and we actually do create a space race, I mean, I think Morgan Stanley is probably correct in their assessment.
Well, David, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Give out a website where people can find out about your sci-fi book.
Sure. It's just my name, davidpedrera.com.
And we'll post a link to that from our site. We'll also link to your CNN column about the Space Force. Thank you so much, David, for joining us.
Thanks. It was a pleasure.
David Pedrera is a former reporter for several newspapers, including the Tampa Tribune, the St. Petersburg Times, and the Capital in Annapolis. He won several awards for his writing from many outlets, including the Associated Press, the Society of Professional Journalists, and more. His sci-fi novel is called Gunpowder Moon, and his CNN.com op-ed was called The Race to Militarize Space is No Joke. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.